You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Michael Hill, the president of the League of the South. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you today. Appreciate you having me on.
Is it okay if I refer to you, I should have asked, as Michael or Mr. Hill? What would you prefer?
Oh, Michael's fine. Michael's okay. Fine.
Thank you, Michael. Now, of course, there's been in the news here the firing of he served law enforcement honorably for, I think, about 19 years, because as you mentioned on your website, he also served the Calhoun County Sheriff's Department from 97 to 2006, and from 2006 till 2015, he served the Anniston, Alabama Police Department, the firing of Lieutenant Josh Dogrell. Is that how you say his last name, Michael? Dogrell?
Yes, Dogrell, right.
Okay. And I want to get into that in great detail in a moment. And of course, he was fired because of his affiliation with the League of the South. But before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are and what exactly is the League of the South and how you became involved with it?
I started the League of the South back in 1994, 21 years ago, this June, in fact. I called together about, I think it was actually 42 people from various walks of life, pastors, businessmen, academics, writers, businessmen, etc. And we spent 3 days in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, forming what turned out to be the League. And from day one, we've been a Southern nationalist organization, meaning that we're working for a free and independent South, free and independent Southern Republic. That's right, secession. Freedom from Washington, D.C., freedom to rule ourselves. And that's been our goal for 21 years. We've grown during that time. We've made some mistakes. I think we've learned from them. We've had some successes, but with success comes higher visibility. And higher visibility sometimes results in things like what we're going to talk about today. People, particularly if they're in positions of employment that are vulnerable, sometimes they can lose their jobs. And we've had, over the past 21 years, a number of people have lost their jobs because of their affiliation with the League. Most of them have been given the opportunity to denounce the League and quit, and so they could keep their jobs. And I will say that most of the people that we've had given that option have stuck with the League and gone on, and some of them have even, you know, formed their own small businesses, and today say it's the best decision ever made. You know, the thing is that we, being a traditional Southern organization, most of us are what you might call traditionalists. Most of us are Christians. And that kind of puts us in the crosshairs of the cultural Marxists who are kind of running the show today. We believe that, you know, there'll be more of this kind of persecution, but we'll stand strong. We have faith in our God, and we have faith in truth, and we're going to stand up and speak the truth and fight for our people and fight for the South. So that's pretty much what we do.
It wouldn't be so revolutionary to say something like that, because anybody could do that, and they're praised by the what I call the elite media now. I know a lot of folks refer to it as the mainstream media, but the elite media, because it is just a small number, versus, for example, what's referred to as the alternative media, like the internet. And so there's many more people in that realm there of the mainstream media than the elite media. But the elite media is pushing, obviously, this agenda, as you said, the cultural Marxists, where if the blacks want to have their own identification, their own groups, that's fine. As a matter of fact, the Black Panthers can even intimidate people at the polls. Hispanics want to do it. If the Jews want to do it. If any minority wants to do it, that's fine. But if the whites want to do it, ooh, you're a hater. You're a white supremacist. So we are in some kind of an alternative universe or a parallel universe here, where for decades, the Jewish-controlled and dominated media in the country has put forth this agenda. And you can say that, because all anyone has to do is just go to the internet and research who's in charge of the media in the United States, the elite media, and you could see that it's run by about 6 Jewish families.
The sooner and more often that we point that out, the better our people will be, because they need to know precisely who the foe is, who the enemy is. And you've got to start at the top, and that's it. That's the top right there.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I say it over and over and over again. In fact, we did a radio broadcast today, and we were discussing this, the attack on white civilization, which is so ironic because it was white Northern Europeans who founded and created, through their blood, sweat, and tears, and death, their destruction, this country. And now these people want to just take it over. And really, if you think about it in that aspect, in that light, it's almost bizarre. Even though we're walking through, you know, our day and we're hearing what we're hearing, I don't think it's affecting us like it would if, for example, we left this country, let's say 40 years ago and saw what it was like then, and let's say 50 years ago, came back and saw what it's like now. It'd be a shock. It's like, I guess, watching somebody grow up. I'm with my little 8-year-old son, and you don't notice it because I'm with him every day. But if I didn't see him in 10 years, obviously it would be a shock. I think it's something akin to that. But yeah, we brought this up. I was asked by the host of the show, what do I think is the main reason for this attack on white civilization? And I said exactly what you just said. I said, look, and I didn't use these exact words, but I said, you got to call a spade a spade. The fact of the matter is that no matter how you look at it, no matter how you study it, no matter what you do, it always comes back to the fact that the people in these positions of power, the gatekeepers, are Jews, period.
Yes, I think organized Jewry on an international scale, their visceral hatred of Christianity and Christians is so deep, runs so deep, that it simply, I think, overshadows everything else they do. Some people say, well, you know, they just do it for the profit. And I don't think so. I mean, I certainly don't discount that as a motive, but I think the main motive is just a deep-seated diabolical of the devil, hatred of white Christians.
The evidence is there, and I actually used the term the first time I used it, I guess being able to digest what's been happening, is white envy, not just with the Jews, but with the blacks and anybody who's not white. I believe that it stems from white envy. They want to be white, and they can't, so since we can't, we're going to destroy you.
I think that that's part of it, too. You know, it's this idea that, hey, we hate what you are. We can't be it, so you're not going to be it either. We're going to destroy you. And I really think that you're right. This has been a process of gradualism, but I think the monster's thrown off the mask here lately, and I think a lot of people are beginning to see what people like you and I have known for a long time. But most people, you know, they go to work, they take care of their families, they go to church, they have hobbies, and they don't pay attention to this stuff like we do until something happens like has happened over the last week or 10 days. And then they start to pay attention, and you hope that you can reach them at a time like this. But you better have a good message, because as soon as the crisis is over, they are liable to go back to sleep.
Sadly, 100% accurate.
You know, the Bible calls them the synagogue of Satan. And it says, you know, you are of the devil, your father, the father of lies. What that means is just a kind of a shorthand picture of the destructive nature of these people. You know, we always refer to them as Esau Edomites and Khazars. That way, you know, it makes people's ears perk up and they listen, and then you can explain a little bit to them. But yeah, I mean, you can talk about the blacks and the Mexicans and everything. They're just street thug troops. I always like to say that there's a pincer movement being used against us, and that is on the street level. You've got the masses of blacks and Hispanics and other third worlders, but at the top end of the pincer, you have the organized Jewry who is orchestrating and paying for everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that you have to keep hammering the message home. The louder they squeal when you hit them with a message, the more you know that you're getting close to the truth. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that we in the league, for example, are going to face more persecution like Josh Dogrell has faced here is because we are getting our message out to more and more people. We're not mincing our words. We're going right to the source. We call a spade, as it were. And, you know, we're going to continue to do that. And when you do that, they start really, really hollering, calling you all the pet names that they like to throw around, which don't bother us at all. Getting kind of the subject back to Josh Dogrell, it was the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, which is basically an elite Jewish organization, that did the story that immediately led to his firing.
That's something that I wanted to ask you about, Michael, because it was very interesting as I'm doing the research on this matter. I always like to look at dates. So I took a look at the date that this alleged shooter in the Charleston church, this Dylan Roof, it says that on the evening of June 17th, 2015, that's when he allegedly did it. And there's a lot of speculation about whether he actually did that, whether these people are dead, whether he was mind controlled. There's a lot of things that we don't know. And you really have to entertain these theories because you weren't in that church and I was not in that church. And we just don't know what happened. And so many times the government has lied to us that we just can't trust them.
Well, I've gotten to the point in my advancing years, I'm 63, where I don't believe much of anything if I don't see it with my own eyes. or somebody that I truly trust, and there are very few people in the world who fall into that category, tells me that it happened. Otherwise, I have doubts.
Exactly. Like they say, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know what happened. I'll make no speculation on it, but I'll tell you this. I didn't see it. Therefore, I can't tell you 100% that it or anything else that happened on that day outside of my ambit here, or my orbit and ambit both, happened, because I didn't see it. And I am to the point where I don't believe a damn thing that the U.S. government tells me.
Absolutely. You would be a fool to. So they said June 17th, and then I looked to see, and I think on your website you had listed the date that Josh was fired as June 19th, right?
He was fired on the 19th, exactly. The story came out on the 17th. Yeah, they did a two-day investigation, and guess what? They didn't even call me, the president of the group that he belongs to, so much for the depth of their investigation. But yes, you're right. He was fired on a Friday, which I think was the 19th.
Okay, so here's the interesting part. The shooting, I mean, I would imagine that these alleged black folks were in the church in the evening. Did it allegedly take place in the evening or in the morning or in the afternoon?
Well, I heard that it was at a Bible study, and I would presume that down south here that a Bible study in a church would have been on a Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening in the south is church evening.
Okay. But here's where it gets interesting. I'm not even going to call it an article. This hit piece put out by those hate pimps, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has a long history of lying and working with the criminals and the federal government to hurt honest American citizens. So these dirtbags, aren't they in Alabama?
Yeah, they're in Montgomery, Alabama, the state capital. Got a huge, huge fortress, the Poverty Palace, as we call it, down there. It costs, you know, millions and millions of dollars. It really is like a big black fortress rising up out of the city.
What a disgrace. And these, ugly. Yeah, ugly. These ugly people, and that's what they are, because I've interviewed that guy, Mark Potok, he admitted to me that hate, like I didn't know this before, is a subjective term. So basically their hate watch and their hate group and their hate map means nothing.
No, it doesn't. It's just their opinion.
Problem is that people fall for it. And that's another thing that needs to be pointed out, is that when you see stories that list the SPLC and the ADL, those criminals, they say they're anti-Semitic and they're a hate group. First thing you got to do is say, who cares? These people are the criminals. Don't pay attention to it. People,
really?
You got to wake up.
That's right. You think they might have an agenda.
Yeah, a little bit. So here's the interesting thing, Michael. This hit piece from the SPLC on its Hate Watch blog, guess when that's dated?
June the 17th, probably sometime in the daytime.
Exactly. 11:54 a.m.
Yeah, I remember when it came out because somebody alerted me to it right away.
But here's the interesting part. This is old news, right, about Josh?
Oh, yeah. The Anniston Police Department knew about this when he interviewed for the job in 2006, and he reiterated it to the chief in 2009, and they said they had no problem with it. So, yeah, it's old news.
But isn't it curious that the hate pimps brought this story to the fore on the same day of the alleged shooting, but in the morning, and the shooting was in the evening?
That's right. Oh, yes, you're not the first person to speculate about the coincidence of those events.
Amazing. And I watched that video that the pimps put out about you folks. And what was interesting about that, and I'm just going to play this little part to it.
Our general goal is to advance the social, cultural, economic, and political well-being and independence of the Southern people by all honorable means.
What was important about the end of that, you said, by all honorable means. What does that mean, Michael?
Well, you know, I said before that we're Christians, and we, unlike the cultural Marxists, the Leninists, the Trotskyites, the Communists, the Bolsheviks, whatever you want to call them, we are bound by a set of moral guidelines that stem from God's word. They're not. I mean, they can lie, cheat, steal, kill, whatever, but we have to be honorable men. Otherwise, we become just like they are, and I don't want to do that. So we act honorably. We tell the truth. We stick by the truth. We're not cowed. But we also try not to deal in lies or innuendo or anything that would be scandalous like that. We just simply try to tell the truth, and that's what Josh did. He told his employers on more than one occasion that he was a member of the League of the South, and it was told to him, that's fine. So the Southern Poverty Law Center comes out with a story. at a very critical time, as it turned out, as we've been talking about here. And within 2 days after the city of Anniston did a, quote, investigation, end quote, Josh was summarily fired, and he was fired at a press conference. How many times you see a public official fired at a press conference with him not even being there? I mean, this was nothing but cover your ass on the part of the city of Anniston and the Anniston Police Department. Because the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, the NAACP, and all these left-wing cultural Marxist groups started tightening the clamps, the screws, putting pressure, and the city of Anniston caved in. And as a result, they'll get a lawsuit.
Does the league suggest or promote or recommend violence against anything or anybody?
No, the only violence that we recommend our people get ready to take is in self-defense of each other and of ourselves and families. We think that the best way to raise people's consciousness about these things is merely tell them the truth. And I think that the other side would like nothing more than to provoke us, and I say us, meaning the traditionalists, right wing, etc., into doing something violent and stupid where they would have a justification, and you know how the media would treat that, to really crack down and perhaps even institute martial law. So I'm always warning our people, don't let them provoke you into doing something stupid or even getting out there and publicly promoting it. I mean, the Black Panther Party can get out there and have public demonstrations and press conferences and talk about shooting white people and slitting white people's throats and stuff like that, and nothing ever happens to them. But you know as well as I do that if we did stuff like that, we'd be hauled off and probably thrown in the gulag before the day was over. So we have to be very careful about what we say, and as a result of that, we have tried always to do things honorably and above board and not recommend our members do anything that would break their local or state laws or any laws, because they're just waiting for us to do something like that where they can move on us. You know, we have a double standard at work out there. Blacks and Mexicans and Jews and third worlders and, you know, anybody but white people, particularly white Christians and particularly white Christian Southerners. I mean, we seem to be at the top of the totem pole as far as who the cultural Marxists hate. We now have to live by a double standard. They can get away with saying things, even doing things, that we can't get away with. We lose our jobs. They're praised as heroes. They make violent threats. Nothing happens. Anybody on the right that even breathes a word that could be construed as a threat wakes up with the FBI at their door. So it's a very dangerous world out there. And I always laugh about, they talk about how the old civil rights pioneers back in the 50s and 60s were so courageous. Yeah, they had some local opposition, but they had Uncle Sam's big, heavy fist behind them. The really courageous people are the white people today who are standing up for their patrimony, for the country that they built, because they do not have any government, not even their local or state government anymore, it seems, behind them, and certainly not Washington, D.C. So we're really the courageous ones. We're the ones that are out here outnumbered, outgunned, outspent, out everything, and we're still fighting, and we're the archetypal underdogs, but we're still here.
Yeah, that's very well said and so true, and maybe some people believe that what allegedly happened in Charleston is a signal that the Second Civil War has begun, because that's where the federal government provoked the South, at Fort Sumter. And
you got that right.
It's not too far-fetched to believe that. And like you said, we're the courageous ones. We are the ones that have to fight. It doesn't matter. We're not doing this for money. We're not doing this for fame. We're doing this because this is what's right. And if we don't do it, we're going to lose everything that our forefathers built.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly what we stand to lose. If we don't fight, we lose. Now, if we fight, we're not guaranteed to win. But if we don't fight, we know what the outcome of it's going to be.
Is the league assisting Josh in his legal action against the city of Anniston?
Yes, we are raising money for a Josh Dogrell Legal Defense Fund. We're using our website. We're using our email list. We're using various other means to bring in money for his legal defense team.
Have you had any good fortune with finding somebody who has the guts and balls enough to represent him?
Oh, yeah. Josh has been talking to a very aggressive labor lawyer in Birmingham, supposedly one of the best labor lawyers in the South. So we're not going to skimp on legal representation.
How can some of the listeners, if they want to help out, how could they help out? What's the best way for them to do it?
Well, the best way for them to do it is to go directly to Josh or to the Legal Defense Fund that we've got set up for him. Anybody who wants to help can send a check made out to Josh Doggrell, and that's D-O-G-G-R-E-L-L, and mail it to Josh Doggrell, P.O. Box 472, Alexandria, A-L-E-X-A-N-D-R-I-A, Alexandria, Alabama, zip code 36250. Or if you want to do it directly through PayPal, you can do it through this email address. Grace, G-R-A, and this is all together, Grace, G-R-A-C-E, number 4, Doggrell, D-O-G-G-R-E-L-L. That's Grace, G-R-A-C-E, number 4, Doggrell, D-O-G-G-R-E-L-L, at AOL.com. And that's the PayPal email address that you can send donations to.
How much money do you figure you're looking at for Josh's defense?
Well, the only figure that I have seen is an initial retainer fee of $5,000. I haven't talked to Josh in the last few days. I don't know if that amount has been raised yet or not. I figure it probably has. If not, it's probably close. But we haven't been doing this for about a week. And our people, God bless them, they're working people. You know, we don't have big corporations or foundations or, God forbid, government to hand money out to us. So we have to get donations from just common, hardworking Southerners and others who support what we're doing. So it may take us a little while to raise all the money we need, but I think we'll have enough pretty soon for the initial retainer fee. Josh is a good Christian young man. He was my student at the University of Alabama. I taught there for roughly 20 years, from 1978 to 1996, 18 years. And Josh was a student of mine in the early 90s, fine young man. When he was given the option of throwing us under the bus, as they say these days, to keep his job and his pension, he told them in no uncertain terms that he was sticking with the league. So he's not only a fine Christian young man, but he is a man of rare principle these days.
The league has a national conference, and I'm looking at your website. It says that on July 24th and 25th, Friday and Saturday.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah, can you tell the listeners about that? It looks like it's in, correct me if I'm saying that, Wetumpka, is that right?
Wetumpka, yeah, that's an old, I think it's a Choctaw Indian word. Yeah, Wetumpka is just north of Montgomery on the north bank of the Alabama River. It's a white enclave. Montgomery is pretty much turned into the jungle, so whites have been moving out into suburbia and out into the country. Wetumpka is the place where the league has its building. It's Alabama headquarters building, and it's a perfect venue for our national conference. So I think this is the fourth year in a row that we've had it there, mainly because we want to show off our real estate. We can enact the kind of security that we want there that we couldn't at a hotel venue. And we can't be run out of our own building, which happens to some groups that have the same ideas as we do sometimes. You know, the left will get wind of you having something scheduled at a hotel, and they'll start calling the place and threatening to demonstrate, and the hotel staff will simply fold and tell you, sorry, but we can't honor our obligation to you. So we've kind of skipped out on that and started having things on our own property. Yes, the 24th and 25th of July at the League of the South building, and you can go to leagueofthesouth.com, and up in the main menu, there's a place where you can click on 2015 National Conference, and people can find out all the details, the agenda, and other things about the conference. But it's going to be well attended this year, I think, because we are already turning media away. And I hope we don't have to start turning people away because of room concerns. I mean, you know, we can only fit probably 250 or 300 people in our building.
Wow, well, that's good. Dr. Michael Hill, the president of the League of the South, who is also a retired university professor of history and the author of two books on Celtic warfare, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. And I had a great time talking to you. You're doing a great thing. You're obviously a great American. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Well, it was my pleasure to be on the show, and everybody support Josh and pray for him, and we're going to make that one of our top priorities, getting justice for him.